Okay, let's talk about our thought life. I was a very imaginative teenager. I doubt it you can be worse than I was. I mean, I love to imagine things so well, there were times I couldn't even work. I had to sit down and think out my story. I don't know how many fires I was rescued from, how many young men I pulled an arrow out of, or, you know, hunting accident helped him. I don't know how many times I had something deliciously romantic worked out in my mind. And my cousin and I would get together, and we would laugh ourselves silly over the things that we imagined. And the older we got, the more we started realizing, is this right or isn't it? We really questioned it back and forth once in a while. How far should we let our thought life go? And I realized that I am not judged by what I do, but what I think and want to do. And the older I got, the more it started speaking to me. I think God started laying his finger on my heart. I think this is an area you need to work on. It is giving you discontentment. All it does is give you this blue, longy feeling for, you know, something better in life, or, oh, if I could just live in the 1800s, or if I could just go to a dance, or if I could just have a boyfriend, or I would be happy. It's not wrong to dream, but it is wrong to dream things that will cause you to be discontent. We wouldn't get anywhere if we wouldn't dream something. Our dreams is what makes the world progress. There would be no missionaries without dreamers. But there also would be no jails without dreamers. Dreams can be good or bad. How many of you would spend time daydreaming about how to kill someone? Not one of you, would you? I hope not. It's totally preposterous in your mind. That's something I wouldn't even consider doing. Well, why? Well, we all admit it's unprofitable and it would hurt others. So that's the reason I would not daydream about killing someone, because it's unprofitable and it hurts others. How much of the time do you spend dreaming about stuff that is unprofitable and it hurts others because you are not helping them when you should be helping them? Or it hurts others because it makes you grumpy and discontented with your lot in life. Let's read 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, you have a lot of knowledge. Where you have been raised, you have had a lot of teaching. If the things you are imagining, are they exalting itself or overriding in your mind? Are you committing things or doing things that override the knowledge that you know in your head would be wrong to carry out? Cast it down. Casting down imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I don't know how many years it took me or how long it took me once it started dawning on me the harmfulness of daydreaming things, that I wouldn't commit in person or in front of others. It was a hard progress, a hard struggle, because I loved to daydream. I mean, I didn't need romance novels. I made them up myself. And it took a long time to get over that, when I had this delicious feeling come over me. Oh, a story is making up in my mind. You know, I got to go sit down and think this one out. And it was a fun feeling. It really was. But I started realizing that afterwards, it does not yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness, of contentment. And I did get victory in it. It is totally possible to have victory in it. The problem is, some of us think, well, is it really that harmful? It is, because what you think, that's the kind of person you are. And you don't realize it often. You think, well, I think things about boys, but I do not act boy crazy. Well, you have no idea how much it shows on your actions. Absolutely no idea. Any mature woman can soon pick it up when a young girl is boy crazy. And you can see where the thoughts go, where they run. You think, well, what can I think about? You're cutting off all my avenues of fun, or of, you know, I shouldn't, if I can't buy things, or if I, you know, I'm supposed to be content now, and I can't even think things out of my sphere, you know, of what I can do. I think you need to have your mind stretched a bit. I think you need to broaden your horizons. There are many wonderful things to think about. Get study books. Study up on science, or read a lot of missionary books. Or you can dream. You can dream many dreams. Just don't dream the hurtful dreams. Don't dream the dreams that make you discontented. Dream thoughts of service, not discontentment. And every time you get a thought that comes to your mind that is questionable or shady to do in deed, in action, in front of Christ himself, you reject that thought as soon as it comes in. Think, well, how can I? It comes so strongly, I hardly have the power. Well, it will be a long haul if you're used to daydreaming about a lot of things. But I think target prayers is a good idea. If you determine beforehand, every time I'm tempted to go off in this, you know, kind of trend that I happen to, I will pray for this one person or these two people. And you keep always the same person, because if that temptation is coming really strongly, you're not going to feel like thinking, now who shall I pray about? Always have the same person in mind and pray for him. Pray for him earnestly. Get down on your knees and pray for that person. And in praying for them and putting your mind to that, that does a lot in taking off that temptation. Or you can memorize scriptures, and that is powerful. Memorize Psalms 119, and you recite it and recite it when that temptation comes. How to conquer daydreaming about boys, and how to keep your emotions free from it. I have a thought for you. Never think of anything that did not happen. Do not imagine anything that did not in person happen. And that's conquered. You think, well, I can't help but like this person. You can help it. If you refuse to look on, if you refuse to think on anything in your mind that would have transpired in your mind that did not transpire. Once again, think constantly on God. You have to choose not to think on certain subjects. It does come back to your responsibility. Proverbs 3, 6 through 7. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Make choices not to think on subjects. Acknowledge Him in every area in your life, including your thought life. Be accountable to someone. If you are very tempted with thoughts, make a person you really appreciate, preferably your mom. Be accountable to her. Go to her. When you see that that temptation is overriding you, you almost can't stop the thoughts. Go to her. Or turn on a tape of scripture verses or of worshipful music. Dream of doing exploits for God today, for your family, and in years to come on mission. Okay, let's turn to my feelings and my fears. Every one of us are very human, and we do struggle with feelings and with fears. A lot of our young people seem to be caught up in a cycle of, they get saved, they're convicted, they get saved. Well, first of all, we start seeing something wrong by ourselves, not just because our parents have forbidden it. We start feeling a call or a tug in our heart. Maybe it's time to give my heart to the Lord. Our time has come. We yield everything to Christ, and we feel so happy afterwards. It lasts maybe a week or two or several months. All of a sudden we realize we're not as happy as we were at first. And you start having these thoughts. I'm different. It doesn't work for me. Maybe I wasn't saved. I love the world too much to be saved. You seesaw back and forth. And I'd like to tell you something about your conscious mind and your subconscious mind. Everything you have seen and done and thought and read in your life is fed back into that computer of the subconscious mind. When you are saved, you are overriding the subconscious mind. You are consciously making a decision to follow Christ. After you are saved, that subconscious mind is going to eject back things that you had read, seen, thought, even feelings you had before you were saved. And many of us just, ooh, I'm not saved. I can't feel this way. This is impossible. And we get scared, we panic by our own feelings, and we give up. I'm not a Christian. I couldn't think something like that or feel that old worldly feeling rise in me if I would be a Christian. Being a Christian is not being filled with wonderful feelings all the time. There are times we're going to be in the heat of the battle where we won't even pause to think, am I happy or not? You're going to be struggling and you're going to be fighting a real adversary. It's joining in a fight. This is normal. You might as well forget once and for all that once you're a Christian, everything's going to flow like this and it's going to come natural and easy for you to be good and sweet and not think of anything you thought of before. You have your subconscious mind to work with. And it's going to take a long, long time to feed enough of stuff into that subconscious mind that the good stuff will start coming back out. And that's why people that were not saved till their 20s or 30s or 40s, they have to work 10 times harder than young people that make the decision when they're 10 to 12 years old. And they often just get overwhelmed. And it's not that they have to be overwhelmed, but they are overwhelmed and they think, well, I give up. And then you really struggle and think, well, am I saved or am I not? That's the question. Am I saved or am I not? How can I feel this way? You need to lay aside every last question you have about your salvation. And you need to begin to invest as much time in God's side as you did in Satan's before. Time will tell whether you were saved or not. Pray all day as you work. Pore over scriptures. Pursue God with your whole heart. God reveals himself to every sincere seeker. He is not God if he wouldn't, and he does. He will reveal to you whether you were saved or not. A lot of the time, the problem is just that we are not investing time into God's kingdom. We are not giving ourselves over to God to invest time in his kingdom. And then, of course, we're filled with doubt. We don't have the assurance of his presence. He abides with those that do his will. And if you're just going to be too lazy not to invest time, you're going to lose sight of him, you're going to be discouraged, and after a bit you're going to give it up. And who knows if you were a Christian or not? You don't always know unless you pursue him and you seek him. And he will reveal himself to you. Sometimes when girls go through maybe ages 12 through 15 or 16, it seems when they're 16, often their emotions stabilize a bit. They go through hormonal changes, and your feelings are very frightening and unstable. Sometimes you feel like pulling out your hair, you feel like crying and crying, you feel like you don't know yourself anymore. If you are a Christian over that time, it's hard, I know it is, but you need to keep two things in your focus. I choose to obey God in everything. God loves me unconditionally. You keep those two things in your focus, and you'll pull through. You do have tumultuous feelings from needing to relax. You burst into tears over little things. Take a quiet hour by yourself, by the stars or the birds. Think on God. Read a bit from His Word. Think on how God loves you. Rethink your servanthood goals. And pray. Do not pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, I struggle and I pray that you would help me," and then, you know, "in Jesus' name, amen." You need to learn how to pray. You be yourself with God. He knows you better than you know yourself. You go down on your knees. "It's me again, God. I need your help." Forget about all the superficial words of prayers you've ever heard or read. And you cry out to Him. And you imagine as you pray, He is up there. And He is listening to the very words I'm saying. Often we think, "Well, I gotta pray, and I pray, but I don't want to think about it." Really, truly think about it and believe it, that God is up there and He's listening to me right now. Just thinking of Him listening to you lends so much power and so much peace to you. Make Him real. Imagine about Him if you want something to imagine about. Okay, let's talk a little bit about fears. People who are not abiding in Christ are fearful people. They live as if there's no God Monday through Saturday. They fear sickness. They fear death. They fear what will happen to their children. They fear poverty. They fear moral breakdowns. They fear being inadequate. They fear others will think they're inadequate. They fear burglars, murderers, goalies and ghosties, long-legged beasties and things that go bump in the night. It's just everything. They just fear. We fear so many things, and basically it's things that are in our future. Here is where you can use your imagination. You imagine that you're in a stormy ocean. The waves are several stories high. You are going up and down and up and down. And you're holding your breath. You're having a heart attack with every wave. You are so fearful about everything. We fear that huge wave ahead, this terrific valley between. Then all of a sudden, we realize, "He won't let me fall out. He's right with me. I'm entirely safe. I'm right with Him." Once we get that into our head, we start to glory in the triumphs of the hardship. Another thing to think about. God cares more about your happiness than you do yourself. You might not think so, but He does. He has more of a capacity to feel than you have a capacity to feel. He is so much greater than us in every way. He might rearrange your plans to show you what true happiness is. But believe me, it is true happiness. We think, "Well, I'm scared of that type of happiness." It is true happiness. It is happiness that nothing, nothing can conquer. God will not give you more in His heart than He knows you can handle. Be thrilled. Allow yourself to be thrilled when you're going through a trial. "God has this much confidence in me that I will call on Him through this." Believe on all things. Believe that all things work together for the good of them that love God. You need to believe that if you want to have peace when accidents occur. You need to embrace that promise. You want victory? You need to know that God Himself, your very own Father, is in control. Pray to Him. Once again, tell Him your fears. Ask Him for His peace. I cannot say that enough. Tell it to Him and ask Him, and He will. Constantly picture yourself when you're going through a hard time. I'm just like a little bird perched on my Father's hand. That's how safe I am. I have a bunch of verses, but I don't think I'll turn to them, about our sins, fear of future temptation, fear of future calamity. There are verses in the Bible. You look for them and you find them. Hidden in the hollow of His blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry, touch the Spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding, as He promised, perfect peace and rest. Okay, let's touch on my goals and God's goals. Girlhood is a time of making ready for the rest of your life. You are building yourself into what you are going to be. This might discourage some of you, but it's the truth. Once you are 18, you have pretty well formed your character. I will not say God cannot change you. He has all power to change you. But for those of you that are younger than 18, you think, I'll wait till I'm a little older. That won't happen. What you are till you're 18, if you're rebellious till you're 18, you're going to struggle with rebellion pretty likely for the rest of your life unless God does a total miracle in you. You will never go beyond your ideals. That's why it is so important for you girls to put your ideals high. You will never change anything or grow anything anywhere unless you are willing to change something you are doing now. We think, oh, I want to go to this girls' meeting. I want to learn. I want to grow. You will not grow unless you're willing to change something you're doing right now. And that's very thought-provoking. If I realize I go to church to listen to the pastor and I want to be more like Jesus, I will not be more like Jesus unless I will change something, somewhere where my toes are being treaded on. A good goal is worth working for. Nothing gets done without discipline or dedication to your goal. If you're a painter, you need discipline and dedication. If you're a secretary, you need hours of dedication and discipline to learn how to type. If you're a housewife, it probably took you years to learn the art. You need to spend time. Spend a lot of time pursuing your goals. You write out your goal tonight when you get home. This is my goal. Then you spend time with that goal. It takes patience. One thing that often encouraged me that my Daniel used to say was this. When a potter is molding a pot and the wheel is spinning, there's a lump there. He just puts a gentle pressure on that lump and he spins it around and around and around so that each time that it comes around, it's just molded a little more and a little more and a little more. We would think, grab that lump out, but it would totally ruin the pot. Daniel says, if you want to change, pray about it. Be consistent in praying about it, but be patient. Over a period of maybe a year, and you hardly realize that you are totally changed and you no longer struggle with it. Be patient. If you don't get it the first time, the wheel is coming around and he'll put pressure on it again. Energy or investment is needed for a good goal. Take practice courses at kindness. Most of all, sacrifice is needed. Take everything away that would downplay your goals. Books. Take every book out of the house that when you read, lessens your desire for your goal. Don't read it. Clothing. You wear something and a spirit comes over you, you take that away if it's going to downplay your goal. Music. You listen to a CD that makes you feel, it doesn't matter quite as much, you know. Take it away. It's not worth it. You won't grow. Friendships. You have a friend that really puts a lot of pressure on you, that makes it hard for you to reach your goal. Give that friendship to Christ and be willing to give it up if it has to. Be like the man with the pearl. It costs you a lot. It costs you everything to grow as a princess and to be what God wanted you to be. The true princess will set her goals at the highest possible point to bring God glory, not to outstrip her friends. Any goal that will bring God less glory is not a noble goal. Talking about the goal to be popular, the goal to be best dressed, the goal to be in the in-group, so to speak, that is not a noble goal. Our heart's cry should be Psalms 25:4. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy path. I just now had to think of a verse that, in answer back to him, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Okay, God's goals. You think, well, what's God's goals for me? Let's turn to Philippians 2:15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons or princesses of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Philippians 1:10-11. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. He has absolutely no mediocre life planned out for you. He has the highest life you could ever desire or wish for planned for you. The problem isn't, is it his goal? Is it your goal? I won't turn to it. 1 Thessalonians 4:3a, you would be clean from the inside out. That is his goal for you. We think, well, our power for victory, I mean, people say, just be victorious. What, you know, how can you do that? Our power for victory is the resurrection power. That is the strongest power that ever reigned or did anything on the earth. It literally brought Christ just right back up to his feet. He could not stay dead. It's the strongest source of power in the universe. That's the very power he puts inside of you once you are dead with him. Well, how do I let that power work? You truly believe in it. Then you take the first step of obedience like the Israelites did at the Red Sea. You say, okay, Lord, I don't feel that power right now, but I choose to obey. Often, it's not the lack of power, it's the lack of choosing that gets us down. You don't want to be radical or different? We will slip into a gray area where even our judgments become gray because we can't see clearly. Those in the white can discern clearly. Those of you that don't want to be different in your goals or attitudes are already in the gray area, and that is why you speculate and question, does it matter? That's a sobering thought to me. You choose a vocation in life. Learn the art of homemaking. It might make the biggest difference in your marriage, for one thing. Learn one other thing in case marriage isn't for you. But that other thing, you need to question, is this vocation glorifying to God or is it a seedbed of temptation? That is very important for princesses. Not only are you putting yourself at stake, you are putting the glory of God at stake. And God needs to be glorified in everything. The vocation you are choosing, is it something you're constantly going to be rubbing shoulders with people of very low standards that will drag you down? Is it working with men side by side and putting temptations that are not meant to be? I realize not everybody can be missionaries. But there is no vocation higher to work on, no goal higher than to be a missionary. Nobody has a right to stay unless they have their bags packed to go. Meaning their heart's willing. And with that in mind, as young girls, Be willing to go. God might not choose you, but be willing. And if you have a missionary life ahead of you that you want to pursue, study missionary books, the Bible, and learn how to pray fervently, because that is very, very important. Let's talk a little bit about rising and falling. We rise and we fall and we get discouraged. It's not half as wrong to fall as it is not to rise again. I know without a doubt probably every one of you, if you have a goal in your mind, you're going to fall, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. We are human. It's not that God's grace isn't there, but sometimes we, in weakness, choose to do the wrong thing. Leave that behind you and rise up again. You will get nowhere if you stay on your feet, if you stay on your knees and refuse to rise again and keep trying. Maybe we can sing that song one more time and sing it with maybe even more meaning than we did before. Could we rise and sing as the deer panteth for the water?
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.